If God exists, why doesn't he make everything right? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. This is Bill Meyer, along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. You can call us right now with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. And you can email us with your question at questions@corechristianity.com. First up today, we have a story about a novel way to help seniors feel less isolated during the coronavirus pandemic. As you know, since older adults are the most vulnerable to the illness, many of them are dealing with feeling isolated and alone right now. And one organization in Alabama is helping out with something unique, lifelike robotic companion pets. It's a pilot project being administered by the Alabama Department of Senior Services. A company called Ageless Innovation has created these little companion pets that are designed to feel, look, and sound like real pets. CEO Ted Fisher says, "We have technology inside the pets that allows them to respond to touch and sound and light in different ways." And Adriel, I was thinking of getting one of these for you, and I'm wondering, would you prefer the robotic puppy, the kitty, or the boa constrictor?
Give me for sure the robotic puppy, because I think puppies are the cutest thing, except I don't want to clean up after it, and yeah, it's not going to grow any bigger. So this sounds to me like the perfect dog for someone like me.
No feeding and no taking him out in the middle of the night. That's
just
great.
Just charge him every once in a while, or not, if you are tired of hearing it bark, you know, or whatever
well,
it does.
What happens when the lithium battery runs out, dude? Your poor little puppy.
She buried in the backyard.
Oh, gosh. Now you've made every child cry. Oh. All right. Let's get to our first question of the day. Dee Dee posted this on our Facebook page, and she says, "Hi, Pastor Sanchez. I was wondering what book I can recommend to a friend of mine who's a Christian, but she's all over the place in her beliefs. I'd like to share the gospel with her and where she can understand the truth of God's word and his gospel."
Dee Dee, I would say, well, two things. So there's a bunch of books I want to recommend, but the two things first that I would say is, one, start with the scriptures. I mean, the Bible is powerful. It's the word of God. It's really where you want to point her to initially. And so I would recommend, Dee Dee, that you say, hey, why don't we go through the Gospel of John together? Read a chapter every day, maybe talk about it at the end of the week or at the end of each night, that kind of a thing. But really introducing your friend to who Jesus is so that she could gain a better understanding in her Christian faith. So start with the scriptures, and two, with that, and this is where I think a lot of us sort of go off the rails, is we have that, but we don't have this other piece. We don't have the local church. So I'd want to know, Dee Dee, is your friend a part of a good church where the scriptures are being taught, where they're being explained, where instead of having beliefs that are all over the place, she's being established in sound doctrine? We all need that as Christians. And so that's really the focus. I think you need to encourage her to be in the word and to be in a good church. And if she isn't in the word and if she's not in a good church, that's the priority. That's the first thing that you want to encourage and help her. And I hope that you're in a good church as well, Dee Dee. Now, in terms of other books that can be helpful at explaining what the scriptures teach, especially kind of on a surface introductory level, I would definitely recommend Mike Horton's book, Core Christianity. It's part of what got this program started. That's going to introduce her to the core Christian doctrines that I think every Christian needs to know. There's that classic book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. You know, a lot of people have been talking about that book recently because he just went to be with the Lord in glory. He just recently died. But that's a classic. And this is a wonderful book, Knowing God by J.I. Packer. C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, that might be a little bit more philosophical, but I think that there's just some really wonderful nuggets there just about the basics of the Christian faith, why we believe what we believe, how to defend the faith. And we've offered that in particular, Mere Christianity, on this program many, many times to our listeners. That's another one. The Story of Reality by Greg Kochel. That's a great book. That's going to be more worldview and defending the faith and how you can know that the Christian faith is true in comparison to all these other religious beliefs and worldviews, those kinds of things, or the Story of Reality. And maybe one more recommendation. You have Tim Keller's book, The Prodigal God, which I think is a really helpful, just gospel-centered exposition of the parable of the prodigal son. Those are some other extra biblical resources, if you will, that you might want to consider introducing your friend to. But I would say the main thing is be in the Word. Encourage her to be in the Word. The Spirit of God works with the Word of God to transform our hearts and minds and make sure she's going to a good church where the Word is being faithfully taught. And a lot of people wonder, well, what does it mean for a church to be a good church? Well, does it have the marks of a true church? Is the Word faithfully taught? Is worship ordered according to what we see in God's Word? You know, you have those ordinances that Jesus gave to the church, baptism, the Lord's Supper. This is what Jesus gave us for worship. And you also have what we call discipline, church discipline, fellowship, community. In other words, it's not just this group of people that gather together and there's no real genuine oversight from the pastors and elders, and they're not caring for the flock, but people are being discipled, cared for. The truth of God's word is being spoken into and applied to their lives. That's so important. And so find a good church where those things are happening and encourage your friend to be a part of it.
You know, Adriel, one of the things that's so encouraging to me is we have so many listeners who write or call in and they say, I have this friend and I really care about them, but they're confused or their theology is messed up and I really want to help them. And man, that is such an important part of the Christian life, is to reaching out to those that are confused and helping them to understand the truth.
Yeah, it totally is. And one thing that I've seen the same thing, Bill, but I've noticed that a lot of individuals will feel like I have to do something to help. I want to save my friend. I mean, basically, right? And I think that we each individually can play a role in the life of a brother or sister who needs some of that guidance, some of that help. But ultimately, they need more than just me. Even for me as a pastor, like I know that the people in the congregation that I pastor need more than me. They need the whole community of faith, the body of Christ, because we're all gifted in different ways and we're all using our gifts for the edification of the body. And so for us to grow spiritually in a healthy way, we need the whole church. And this is what I was trying to tell Dee Dee, was part of the big thing that we have to do when we want to help someone is get them plugged into the church, because we know that ultimately they need more than just themselves in the Bible in the closet for the rest of their life, or fellowship with me as an individual. I'm only gifted to a certain extent. There's only so much that one person can provide. What we need is the whole body of Christ.
Mm. So critical that each of us is plugged into a solid church. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. And if you have a question for us, you can call us at 833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. You can also email us at questions@corechristianity.com. Roy sent us an email and he says, in a recent program, you explained why Jesus called the rulers gods. Related to that same passage, my question is, why did Jesus tell them that they would die like men because they unfairly judged the people? I assume these were just men like us, so wouldn't they have died even if they had judged fairly?
Yeah, that's a good question. And obviously the text we're referring to here is Psalm chapter 82. And Roy, let me just say this. Thanks for reaching out to us after hearing the program. That's one thing we want to make sure that you all know is, as we're answering these questions, as we're digging into the scriptures, reach out to us. If you have a follow-up or if you have a question about something that I've said, or you even disagree, that's okay. We want to dig into the scriptures together so that we might be edified. And so I really appreciate, Roy, the fact that you've done that, following up with this question on Psalm 82. Here's what Psalm 82 says. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. So you have this picture of these divine judges, if you will, and ultimately the main judge is God. And the psalmist is calling upon him to come and judge the earth, because the psalmist knows that only God is the perfectly just and righteous judge. And God here, through this psalm, is rebuking the unjust judges and leaders of the world, and in particular of Israel, who are judging, but they're showing partiality. They're not giving justice to the weak and fatherless, verse 3, maintaining the right of the afflicted and the destitute. They're not doing what they should do, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. And so God is reminding them of their role, of their position, of what they should be doing. They are not the king of heaven and earth. They will die like men. Know your place. It's as if that's what God is saying here. Know your place. Know your role. You've been given this position of authority, and yet you're abusing it and misusing it and not caring for the weak and needy like you should. You will die like men. You're nothing. The words here, I think, are meant to humble us, to humble those of us especially who are in positions of authority and of power, and to remind us to use those positions for good, for caring for those who are in need, for speaking the truth of God's word, for delivering from the hand of the wicked. And ultimately, there's the hope here in this psalm, Roy, that God is the ultimate good and just judge, and that we're looking to him. And what an encouragement that is for us, because just like at any time in history, you can look around at the world today and say, there's so much injustice. There's so much wickedness, wicked rulers, and it's discouraging. It's disheartening. And we look around and we think, man, what hope do we have? And with the psalmist, we can say in verse 8, arise, O God, judge the earth. You shall inherit the nations. The hope that we have ultimately is not in the wicked judges of this world, but in the true and the just judge of heaven and earth, who reigns over all things. And one day, especially, we're looking forward to the new creation, one day is going to make everything right. And that's the hope that we have through Jesus and what he's accomplished for us in his death and resurrection.
You're listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. I'm Bill Meyer, and we're wondering, have you or someone you love been struggling during this whole COVID-19 situation? Because we have an important resource to offer you today. And Adriel, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is a new one, so I'm stoked about being able to offer this one today. We're offering our listeners a wonderful little book by Harold Sankbell called Christ and Calamity. It's easy to think that God has forgotten us when things get tough, or that he doesn't care about us as we continue to cry out to him in the midst of our suffering. This book is going to remind you over and over that God is faithful and can be trusted no matter what calamity you are facing. And it's a book I plan to give out regularly. So take advantage of this offer. Go to corechristianity.com/offers or give us a call at 833-THE-CORE.
You know, if you or someone you love has been struggling during COVID-19, this is a little book that offers big comfort, and you can reserve your copy today for a donation of any amount. Just head over to corechristianity.com/offers. You can also call us at 833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE.
Yes. Hi, brothers, Adriel and Bill. My name is Yuri from San Diego, and I am very much in-depth into the scriptures, and I have come to a conclusion that Paul's teachings contradict those of Jesus, and I know that there's plenty of material that is presented on both sides, but I think if you look at the overall body of his message, although it has elements of truth and righteousness, it emphasizes on, O wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of sin, whereas Jesus has called us to righteousness and to focus on righteousness. So at this point in time, I no longer recognize Paul's writings as equal to that of Messiah, and I definitely don't want to call anything that he wrote the word of God. So my question to you is, how can I reason with my sisters in Christ? Because it seems like over the time, the message of Jesus, as it was switching hands, had become something else. And so now in the 21st century that I'm looking with my eyes at the words of Jesus, I don't think it's necessary to have Paul's interpretation of what Jesus meant to say. I see what Jesus says. I just wanted to get your advice on that. Thank you very much, and may God bless you. Thank you.
Hey, Yuri. Thank you for calling. And it sounds like we're both in San Diego. Come check out our church sometime. Now, I do believe that Paul got Jesus right. This is a kind of a tough one to answer because I disagree with you. I mean, the more I've studied Paul and Jesus, the more I've come to the conclusion, actually, that they're not saying anything different. Now, they're different people, if you will. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the God-man. Paul is a disciple of Jesus. And you remember how he became a disciple of Jesus. He was persecuting the church initially. The book of Acts describes this. And Jesus knocked him off his horse while he was on his way to persecute believers and said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Jesus is the one who called him into the church as a disciple, as an apostle, and gave him a message and sent him out to proclaim and preach and teach that message. And so the fact of the matter is Jesus himself is the one who handed this message, this gospel, on to Paul, and Paul proclaimed that message. And I don't think, one, I think that that in and of itself should be enough to tell us that these guys are on the same page, that the Lord handed this gospel on to him, and that Paul received this gospel from Jesus. And this is actually what Paul says in particular in the book of Galatians. I just finished preaching through Galatians not long ago. And early in that book, as he's establishing his authority, he talks about how the gospel he received did not come from men or through men. It came directly from a revelation of God, directly from Jesus. And so that right there, I think, is enough to say, look, Paul and Jesus are saying the same thing. Paul received his message, his gospel from Jesus. And it's not that Jesus is emphasizing righteousness and not grace. In other words, that Jesus is saying, "I'm calling you to holy living," and Paul is, you know, focusing on grace and how none of us lives a perfect life. No, they both emphasize the fact that the law of God is impossible to perfectly keep. I mean, you just think about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you've already committed adultery. If you have hatred in your heart, you've already committed murder. Every single one of us is condemned by God's law. And Paul brings that very same truth out in places like the book of Romans and the book of Galatians. So they're on the same page there. And both of them emphasize justification by the free grace of God. Now think about what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Luke 18, verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. He said, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Who was justified there in that parable that Jesus Christ gave? It wasn't the righteous, quote-unquote, Pharisee who fasted and tithed and who was holy and was doing this, that, and the other. It was the sinner. God justifies sinners. It was the one who wouldn't even look up to heaven. He's beating his breast. He feels like he can't even call upon the name of the Lord because he's so confronted with this sin. And yet, in mercy, he's justified. This is precisely what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, "To the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." And so, brother, I would say, go back to believing that Paul and Jesus are on the same page and reading Paul and understanding what Paul says and understanding what Jesus says, because there's no contradiction between the two. They're both emphasizing the law of God. They're both emphasizing justification by the free forgiveness of God. And they both call us to holy living, to walking with the Lord faithfully in truth and in righteousness. Now, we're never going to do that perfectly. That's why we can't be justified by our works. But we are called, in light of the mercies of God, his goodness, his forgiveness, to follow him and to love each other. And both Jesus and Paul teach that.
You are listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. And Adriel, we have a question from Jennifer, who posted on our Facebook page. She says, my husband's uncle says he doesn't believe in God, but he keeps asking us questions. Recently, he asked why God, if he exists, doesn't just make everything right and get rid of all the suffering and sinfulness in the world. He's in his 80s, newly widowed, never raised in church, and has only ever heard scripture at weddings and funerals. He is the one who brings these topics up, and I was wondering, how can I represent God properly?
Well, Jennifer, first, let me say a prayer for your uncle. Heavenly Father, lift Jennifer's uncle up to you. And I thank you that he's reflecting on these things and asking these questions at this critical time in his life. And I pray, Lord, that you would open his eyes and his heart to receive your word, to come to know you, Jesus. With the death of his wife, help him to know that you, Jesus, have conquered death. Oh, Father, would you bring him into your church? Would you save him? Would you use Jennifer, give her wisdom as she speaks to her uncle, to be able to encourage him, to comfort him in the midst of this time of great loss? So again, Lord, would you be with him? In Jesus' name, amen. I just think of your uncle and the suffering that he must be going through right now with being recently widowed and the pain that he feels. You know, the first thing I'd want to say to him is God recognizes that there's a lot of evil and pain in the world. And one of the evils in the world is death. We try to downplay it. We try to pretend like it's just a natural part of life. But when death confronts us, whether it's in old age or through some tragedy or through some sickness, it's never a beautiful thing. It's not how God intended the world to be. Death entered into the world because of sin. It's the most unnatural thing insofar as it's not a part of how God initially created the world to be. It's the result of sin. And I can't imagine what it must be like for your uncle to be newly widowed after who knows how many years. I'm just so sorry to hear that. But I would want to give him the hope that God did conquer evil and death. And that's what Jesus was sent into the world to do. And he conquered death through his resurrection. It sounds like right now your uncle is thinking a lot about death. And that's the hope that we have as Christians. I was just telling someone about this the other day. You know, they asked me, how do you give comfort to people during this season of coronavirus where there's so much anxiety, where there's so much fear related to the disease? People don't want to die. They're afraid of death. And I said, look, Christianity is not the message of some great moral principles that are going to help us to be better people, to live a good life now, to live our best life now. Christianity is the message that prepares us for death. Insofar as in Christ, death has been conquered and we have the hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That is our hope as followers of Jesus, as Christians. So Jennifer, I would remind your uncle, share with your uncle that great message of the fact that God has conquered death. Right now, God is calling all people to himself. He's giving us time to repent, and it sounds like your uncle has some more time. Maybe God is drawing your uncle to himself through these circumstances, these difficult circumstances, through no doubt the isolation that so many people are feeling right now because of coronavirus, and I'm sure he feels especially alone. I commend you, sister, for wanting to love him and care for him and seeking to answer these questions. Focus on who Jesus is, on the fact that Jesus has provided for our greatest need, the forgiveness of our sins, overcoming that great and terrible monster that plagues humanity, death, through his resurrection.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.